Welcome to Girls Gone Wad, episode 2. You are here with Joy and Claire.
Hi.
And with us today is TJ Binkley from CrossFit J, which is our CrossFit box.
And we're actually at the gym, which is why it sort of sounds like a cave, but
Like we're in a can. But hi, we're gonna deal with it. So cool. Hi TJ.
How are you guys?
Just doing awesome.
Fantastic. So we just did a photo shoot for CrossFit J's website, and it was really sweaty and pretty at the same time.
Yeah, mostly sweaty. It felt sweaty.
The most sweaty kind of artistic photo.
It was. It was really...
Yeah, not in like that kind of artistic sweaty kind of way, though.
There's a lot of different artistic sweaty ways. So we invited TJ on our podcast because we really want to know the ins and outs of owning a CrossFit box. So TJ's going to get behind the scenes with us. And we're also going to probably ask him questions he's not expecting.
Well, most assuredly, because you didn't send me any questions. They were all unexpected.
TJ's not prepared at all, and we kind of like it that way because the elements of surprise is good. So, TJ, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, brief background so people know who you are.
All right. Well, I was born in Oklahoma, but I've lived here most of my life, and kind of went to school here. I went to CU. I studied Spanish. I got out of school, worked in medicine. I worked in emergency medicine. And it was fun while I was young. It was intense, and you know, there was a lot of crazy stuff. I worked in downtown Denver, and kind of got burnt out on that just because of the acuity of the patients and the kind of people you work with are really
difficult. What does acuity mean?
Like the severity of like cases and things like that.
Just
so
wondered.
Denver Health just has a lot of crazy stuff coming in and out of it. But I kind of got burnt out and realized that the thing I liked best about the hospital scene was speaking Spanish to my clients, or my patients, I should say. So I quit working in the hospital and started teaching high school Spanish. And I taught high school Spanish at Chatfield, which is the school that I went to for 4.5 years. And I worked with my best friend's mom, Andrew's mom worked there.
Oh, okay.
And helped me get the job. And I really enjoyed teaching. And then I kind of got burnt out on that as well. I kind of got to the point where I felt like I was working in these big systems. Like medicine was a big system that was kind of struggling, and then education's a big system that's most assuredly struggling. And kind of I just wanted to be in control of my destiny, I guess, if that sounds right. I didn't want to be in a big system.
You don't
want to
be controlled by the man.
Yeah, exactly. Like people that don't know their head from their ass about teaching who are making decisions that affect your life in the classroom. And so I struggled a lot with that. And I really enjoyed my kids, and I loved just closing the door and teaching. I love the Spanish and everything. But it just got kind of overwhelming after a while. So I quit teaching in the middle of the semester, which didn't go over very well.
And oh, I didn't know that.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I quit teaching in October and opened the gym. And the reason I opened the gym is because I was at a CrossFit gym, and I just kind of found it at the right point in my life where a girl had broken up with me, and I was kind of downtrodden and needed something to fill this void in my life. And I think a lot of people experience this with CrossFit, where it fills some kind of void, and it definitely did for me. And so I joined a gym down south called CrossFit Conquer, and I met some good friends that I still have to this day from that gym. But I don't even remember how long I was at the gym, but after a while the owner decided to shut down and move to California. And I just got like a hair up my ass and was like, I'm gonna do it, I can open this gym. And so I opened in the Highlands in November of 2011, and at the time I was the only gym up here. And it's a small gym. It despite the echoes, it's not as big as it may sound.
We're small and mighty, for sure.
Yeah, and it's been good. We've been open since, like I said, November 2011. We've been at capacity from the 11-month mark on, so I haven't really had to make a big effort to, you know, bring members to pay bills or anything like that. So it's been kind of smooth sailing in that regard. And I think we've created, like, you know, a better community than I could have ever imagined here. I don't necessarily have my finger on the pulse of all of the other gyms in Denver, but I get a pretty good idea of what they're like and how they run. And, you know, Brandon, for example, coaching at Eminence now, he's kind of, you know, I get like different people's stories about different gyms, and I just think we're doing it the right way. And I think that there are definitely some gyms out there that I also agree are doing it the right way, but then I think there are some who, you know, just look to the dollar before they look to the community that they create. And that's, you know, to each their own, I suppose, but that's just not the way I've chosen to run it here. And I think that's been to our benefit, so.
What are the things that you took from, I'm always curious to know, like, since you had a lot of experience at different gyms. Like, what are the things that you really saw that you wanted to take and when opening your gym, and then what you wanted to not take?
What do you want to do? Wait.
What do you wanted to leave?
Yeah, you know, I think one of my big things is making the gym approachable to all different personality types in terms of exercise. So, you know, I get people in here that are really competitive and really want to get strong fast and be good and compete and do all those things. And I want the gym to be applicable to those people, but I also want it to be applicable to kind of the weekend warrior type of people for CrossFit who come and they work out there 3 times a week and it truly is just a workout for them and they have fun and they enjoy the company, but they're not necessarily, you know, shooting for the regionals or the CrossFit games or anything like that. So that was a big key for me, is to kind of make it a gym that kind of encompasses all different mindsets about CrossFit.
What has been something that surprised you about running a gym? Not even like administratively, but like by the gym community, I guess.
You know, I think the business model is interesting. It's different than any other business model out there. And one of the things that I struggle with and appreciate kind of all in the same breath of air is that you're so close to your clients as an owner of a business that, you know, you get their input good or for worse. So I get texts when they're like, you know, that was a great program today, I really enjoyed the workout, you're a good coach. But then I also get like, I don't like the way you do this, or I don't like the way you do that. And it's hard, you know, I take those things personally, and it's hard to hear when people don't like what we're doing here. And that, you know, you obviously can't please everyone, but it's unique because not very many business models have that, where you get direct input to the owner. If I went to Linger and I ate a meal there that I didn't really like, I probably wouldn't say anything to anyone, and the chef at Linger is never gonna lose an ounce of sleep because he's never gonna hear about it.
He's not waking up to a text message of like,
exactly. So it's unique because you're way closer to the people that are taking advantage of your business, whatever that may be.
No, nothing.
I'm like, I'm looking for my questions.
Joy's over here.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm looking for my questions. Go, you go, you go.
The teacher in me.
Well, I do want to.
Put your phone away.
I'm
out. Do you remember what the first WOD is that you programmed?
No, I don't actually.
You didn't take a picture of it?
Oh, it's like, on the blog.
Put it in the baby book?
It's on the blog.
Baby book?
You have to go back to the bowels of the blog. I don't remember what it was. I've come a long ways in my program. You know, things have changed a lot, so I'm sure it was some dumpy WOD I would never program again.
What's your favorite kind of WODs to program?
I really like the Oli days, and I know people kind of have love-hate relationships with those. But Olympic lifting is just such a beautiful sport. It's kind of like the beauty and the beast of sports, I feel like, because it's so ugly in some level and it's so beautiful in other levels. And I really appreciate the Olympic lifting days for the people that kind of have that light bulb moment when they realize, you know, what the hip drive is supposed to feel like or whatever. So I like those workouts. Beyond that, I like, I have a soft spot in my heart for just the stuff like Fran that has that super, super high impact, because I just love laughing at people
most
when they've
painful.
Not done it yet. When they've not done it yet and they have zero clue as to what's about to hit them.
They're like, oh,
this
is nothing.
And then next thing you know, they're outside vomiting on the
floor. Yeah, we have that sequence of Claire's fiance, Brandon, did I think it was Fran for the first time.
It was the second time he's ever done it, it was the first time he'd ever done it. Maybe not prescribed, but it was the first time he'd ever like gone all out.
Yeah, and he went fast.
Yeah.
Or faster than he'd gone before.
Right.
So we have this
took off like 4 minutes.
There goes the sprinter.
He just like progressively gets shittier until he's disappeared from the pictures completely.
And it's outside projectile vomiting into the room.
No, so it's fun.
It wasn't just like, you know how sometimes you like kind of like are heaving? No, his was like.
That happened to me Friday.
You were heaving? Why was Friday?
A lot of double unders.
Yeah. Oh, I missed that one. I love double unders. That was pretty hilarious.
How do you cater to the people who are beginners to advanced, and I guess to the mindset? Because, you know, there's like the people, like you said, that are just like getting the workout, and then the people who are super, super serious. Like, how do you balance that? Because we are a smaller gym and we have smaller classes, so I know it's like you really want to cater to everybody.
Mm-hmm. So let's start off with that real quick. Actually, how many members are there?
I think right now 98, and I kind of float between like 105 and 100 usually. So I just did an elements class this weekend, and so I'll bump back up to, we'll say 105 hopefully.
Nice.
And then how do I cater? So I do and I don't all at the same time. I write programming for the best athletes in the gym, and so I write weights and design formats of WODs for the best athletes. And then unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, everyone else kind of has to adapt to what I program for those athletes. And so I think for the casual people, they're fine with whatever, so that it applies to them. And then for the competitive people, it's programmed for them to a certain degree, so they're happy because they're getting challenged by it. So I guess on a certain level, I don't necessarily cater to everyone. I just think it works for that other half because of their mindset.
So you're thinking of, when you're programming, you have like the better athletes in mind?
Yeah, so when I set a weight, I say, you know, for example, like Joy, you all say, if I want your back squats to go at a rate of, you know, I want you to finish the set in no more than 2 minutes, then I'll program whatever, you know, 115 pounds or something to that effect. Kind of envisioning what you will do it in, or what Michael will do it in, as he's one of our strongest males.
And by Michael, he means Thor, by the way.
Thor, yeah.
We have a guy at our gym who's literally a Viking. Yeah. He has like shoulder-length, curly red hair.
I think we've mentioned him at the first podcast.
Yeah, he did it too. He weighs like 100 million pounds. He could probably deadlift a car.
Yeah, he has Thor in his shoes.
He just looks like that.
Well, it was funny. I think you remember the conversation when I was like, which one's Thor? And TJ goes, Michael. I'm like, which one's Michael? And he's like, the one who looks like Thor. And I was like, oh yeah.
I hope he listens to this and is like, stop talking about it.
He's like, we always talk about Thor, I think, every episode so far.
Yeah, we talked about Chris Dykes in the last
episode. Yeah, we did.
Because we were talking about your favorite and least favorite members.
Chris is definitely one of my favorites.
Yes.
Chris is like a fine wine, though.
Yeah,
he's aged better with time.
We should have him on the
love
podcast.
Love you, Chris.
I love you, Chris.
So yeah, do you have a favorite member, TJ?
No,
so
my fiance. He's my favorite
member. Oh, you have to say that. Lindsay doesn't count. No, I'm just kidding.
I have some, like, I have people that started the gym with me. Kent is definitely one of my favorite members. You know, Kent's been here. Kent came with me when I opened the gym, and I thought that when CrossFit Concord closed, I thought I would bring a sizable chunk of people with me, and I brought 6. And so to open a gym in the Highlands where businesses kind of come and go overnight, and you know, the crowd is tough up here, like it's not an easy place to open a business, I suppose. So Kent came with me, for example. Jared came with me. He's since moved to Nashville. So a few other people came with me, and I really appreciated them for that. But I don't know that I necessarily was a favorite member.
Do you have like, does it get frustrating when you like see people, I guess, like, you see them, they could be better, and they don't? Like, do you have, like, visions for people?
Yeah, when I talk about programming and envisioning what you guys do with it, I kind of have a vision in my head of everyone, because I know every single member at the gym, which is unique to CrossFit Gym, certainly. I know there are a lot of gym owners who don't know half their members, let alone 100% of them, but I literally know every single person here, and I know more or less what they're capable of. So when Claire walks in the door, I can create like a really quick snapshot of what I want the WOD to be like for her. And so, you know, I've called people out on it before. This is kind of a intense environment. One time I remember John Reardon, for example, he really, you know, I think he really cares about CrossFit and wants to get better. And I remember one day he was just having an off day and he was kind of slacking, and I got onto him about it almost like I was his damn teacher or something. And or his mom, worse yet. And, you know, we talked about it afterwards, and it was like, you know, I just knew you could do better, and you weren't. And we all have those days, you know, like I have days when I know I can do better, and I don't. But I try to hold people to high standards.
When you were talking about light bulb moments, I had a light bulb moment on, what was it, Thursday that I came in to work on did I talk about the starfish last week?
No.
So I have this thing called the starfish where instead of squatting under my lift, like instead of actually getting under it, I just try to straddle under it.
Yeah.
And that's how I like try to like gain depth, which is really not really the right way to say it even, because I'm not really gaining anything. I'm just sort of like, it's kind of like a baby deer on a frozen pond.
Yeah, that's a good description.
So if you can imagine what that happens. So when I try to like lift heavy, instead of squatting under, I just baby deer it out, which is also known as a starfish. But I was interested in, so I realized that apparently the power position, you have a tall chest, and I literally did not know that before. And I envisioned it as like you're leaning over, you're like in your power position, leaning over with your shoulders over the bar. But so, I don't know, it just was like, it's interesting when you have those light bulb moments where you're like, you know, I've been coming into the gym 5 times a week, more or less, for the last year and some odd weeks. And I guess, like, that to say, do you still have light bulb moments? Like, do you still have these, like, basic things that kind of come to you where you're like, oh my gosh, I wish that I had, you know, like, for me, that was like, I feel like that was kind of a basic thing that I somehow had just let totally escape my brain when I was thinking about how to get under the bar and how to, you know, move around the bar.
I do. My lifts have evolved over the years that I've been doing CrossFit. Certainly it's gotten better, obviously, and so I've had light bulb moments along the way with my own techniques on things. I don't have as many in regards to movements as I have in regards to coaching. I have a lot of light bulb moments in regards to coaching where I learn how to word something that really helps the masses, you know, or it helps one, even just one person in particular, learning different ways to word things. So I can coach a lot of movements 3 different ways, you know, because I've gone through these progressions of trying this, and then I try this, and then I try this. So I really, you know, being a teacher by nature, I guess, I thrive off of those scenarios almost more than I do my own, you know, athletic stuff. I need to practice all kinds of things. So if I were practicing my handstand walk, I'd hopefully have a light bulb moment there, because there's zero light at all there. But if I were to practice that, I would assume I'd have some kind of light bulb moment. So there is opportunities for it out there, but I have more in coaching than I do.
What's your favorite move?
The snatch.
Yeah. And is your least favorite the handstand walk?
That's definitely one of my least favorites. I don't enjoy, only because I'm terrible in this format, running and lifting at the same time. So like running a 4 and coming back in and doing a bunch of front squats or something like that, those workouts just beat the hell out of me for some reason. I don't know why, but coming in off any kind of cardiovascular movement into a weightlifting movement really smokes me. So
like the running and squat clean squat from 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about the beginners now, and I guess, you know, you've been in this world for so long. What's the trend that you're seeing now with the people that are coming in and getting interested in CrossFit?
You know, I think that now it's not, you know, when it first started, it was like firefighters, SWAT team members, and military men and women. So that was like the clientele. And then it slowly inched out into, we'll say, like kind of extreme athletes, triathletes, marathoners, maybe not marathoners, but triathletes, and people looking to like get stronger,
like,
for some intense stuff, yeah. And now you start to see former athletes, say high school, you know, like the typical high school stud football player who drank a bunch of beer through college, got fat, and now is getting back into shape and realizing he still has, or he or she still has an athlete within them. So now you start to see that. And now I'm starting to see people who, to be totally honest, have zero athletic ability. You know, they don't necessarily move well, and CrossFit is a slow process for them because they don't have a lot of muscle memory. They don't know how to move well. And so, but it's cool because they're coming and they're learning and they're getting better, and they're going from a place of, you know, zero or very little athleticism to, you know, more athleticism than they've ever had in their life at an age that you would never expect them to have it. So I think it's getting more mainstream, which is cool.
Do you have any thoughts about, like, I don't know, there's a lot of criticism about the culture, it's a cult. I think everything's going to get criticized if it's, like,
yeah,
kind of a trend. But do you see that, I don't know, what is your response when you see things like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of it online and things like that.
Yeah.
Claire could probably show us, like, 1,000 examples in 10 minutes. But I think what I see when I look at CrossFit as a community is I see a lot of people who are really happy with the life that they're living and want to share that with people. And so it's, you know, I suppose it gets the cult term because it comes across almost like a religion. You know, if you were religious and you were really happy with your faith, you would want to share that with people. And so this CrossFit thing, whatever it is, becomes a part of people's lives. And I know it did for me. And like I said, it filled a void for me, and it gave me a community that I was lacking. And so it just became part of my everyday consciousness, I guess. And so inevitably, when something fills a role like that in your life, you talk about it a lot. And so I think that I'm actually, more than anything, I'm always surprised to hear members talk about how their friends make fun of them for talking about CrossFit. because there'll be a lot of times it's people I would never expect to go to work, you know, or to their house or with their family or whatever, and just be blathering on about CrossFit nonstop. Right. And I'm like, really? You actually like it enough? I like sometimes I can never tell other people. Andrew, you know, Andrew's coworkers. Andrew's my best friend, and his coworkers are like just so on to the fact that he's always going to talk about CrossFit. And so their joke now is that Andrew's like, yeah, I do this thing. It's called CrossFit. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. And they're like, no, what's CrossFit? Tell us all about it. Kind of joking because he's talking about it all the time. But I am surprised, I guess, by the role it fills in people's lives who don't necessarily give that, you know, indicator to me. I don't know that it fills such a void.
Who don't have CrossFit blogs and podcasts.
Yeah.
It is our life. You posted something on your CrossFit Jay's page like 2 months ago, and you wrote a really cool, it was like an article, I guess, if you will, for your website about Globo gyms and how they're kind of incorporating this. So it was a really strong reaction. I want you to share what you said, because I thought it was really interesting.
So I think we're changing the game, and I think people will knock us for a while, but then I think people will just more or less adopt either CrossFit explicitly or some version of CrossFit that they can sleep at night with, you know, that it looks exactly the same way.
And I want to give a little bit of background, because I don't think I was clear, but like the what was the article? It was the article about like Globo Gyms incorporating CrossFit. Is that what? Yeah.
Well, it was a picture.
It was a picture of the 24-Hour Fitness, and the 24-Hour Fitness had like torn out all these treadmills and stair steppers and ellipticals, and had put turf down, and had like sleds and free weights, and I think they had rings or pull-up rigs or something. But it looked like, I mean, from that half of the gym, it looked like a really fancy CrossFit gym.
Yeah. So go ahead. I just wanted to give background on what we were talking about.
Yeah, so I just think we're changing the game, because there's no magic aspects to CrossFit. I tell all the new people in Elements, look guys, there's nothing special about this. It's elbow grease, you know, and it works consequently. There's no gimmicky contraptions that we're using. Every piece of equipment that we use in here has been probably used for 100 years in fitness. You know, barbells have been around for like a long time. It's one of the original Olympic sports, gymnastics rings, pull-ups, you know, a lot of this like bodyweight stuff. None of it's unique. It's just a combination of it in a way that is really effective. And so I think that people are starting to take notice of what we're doing, and CrossFit itself is kind of, as a community, I think we're holding ourselves to a higher standard, I suppose, and which is good. I think that really benefits our community, because then the naysayers have less and less to naysay about. When I'm qualified to coach the snatch and I'm not just like, you know, winging it, that bodes well for the entire community. So because we're becoming more qualified and better at what we do, and we're teaching better movement mechanics and safer practices and things like that, then some of the whole, like, you know, everyone's going to get injured, blah, 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 or, you know, all those old arguments are going to start to go by the wayside.
Yeah,
and I think you'll start to see Globo gyms try to mimic us. And that was the other part of the article, is that I think they'll eventually start to try to copy what we do, but they can't do it. I literally think they'll never be successful.
Yeah, and that was the interesting piece too, where there was like a moment where you were like, I think you were not scared, it's like the wrong word, but like as a gym owner, you're like, oh shit, they're like taking over, you know, like they're gonna take over, like the man's gonna take over again and bump you guys out.
Where, you know, corporate America comes in and opens 50 CrossFit gyms in Denver,
right,
and they all share the memberships, so you can go wherever you want, and they have all the newest and greatest equipment. And that's only half of it, you know, and I don't even know if it's half of it, to be honest, because you see actual CrossFit gyms open they're beautiful, shiny new facilities, and they just don't have what some of the grassroots, small, owner-run CrossFit gyms have. And so, I don't, you know, unless an owner opened a gym inside a 24-Hour Fitness and ran it just like an actual CrossFit gym and was allowed to run it like a CrossFit gym, which is, you know, that would never happen, but if they were actually allowed to run it like a CrossFit gym, then potentially it could work. But beyond that, I don't know that it ever would.
Well, and then like the day after you posted that, the gym flooded. And you post one sentence on Facebook, like, hey, come down to Jay with your brooms, and like 15 people show up. It's like, that would never happen at a 24-Hour Fitness.
No.
Even if you were at 24-Hour Fitness doing muscle ups and sled pushes, if, you know, 24-Hour Fitness flooded, it'd be like, I'll go to the other one.
a little bit
one down the street's open, I'm sure.
with the flood, we, you know, I started texting people to bring stuff, and it was amazing, because we almost had more offers of help than I could use. I had to, like, start turning people away. because I didn't have enough work for people, or I didn't need that many rooms. And we ended up helping the company next to us to kind of clear them out. And the next day the news was all around, and they were interviewing the owners of the businesses that were flooded. And they interview this guy, and he's like, yeah, it was great. Like, all these random people from the community come out. I'm like, what the F? Like, this is not random. This is us. Like, it was my clients and me. Like, people that pay me came and helped me. Like, you know, that's so... you know, counter to pretty much any other business.
Yeah. Right, it wasn't just like the neighbors or whatever. Yeah, like,
he didn't even have his employees there. Yeah, I know. Who, you know, he's paying, and we had people here, so.
That is pretty amazing. I think that's another piece that people just love about the sport is the family community. It's rare to find that anymore.
You do yoga, and there's a lot of other small fitness class scenarios that lack that.
You know? It's like you go into yoga, and I mean, first of all, I am terrible at yoga. I'm so inflexible. I mean, you guys have both did yoga. Yeah. I'm so inflexible that I can't even get into the yoga part of it because I'm still like, I can't bend that way.
You weren't that bad there.
I'm like, breathing. It's like, stop. I'm gonna die. And so, but you don't talk to people. It's like, you're like, I feel like, you know, you can't look over to the other person and be like, ow, doesn't this hurt? Like, everyone else is just like in their little zen bubble. And you like, you walk out and you're like, I did not connect with anyone in there to any extent whatsoever.
It's because the barriers to entry in those classes are so low. You literally can walk in, sign up, and do a yoga class. Right. And for good or for worse, the barriers to entry in CrossFit are much higher. You know, I think people come to me expecting to just be able to come to a class. I'm like, no. That's not how it works.
No.
You don't just get to come in and start snatching or clean and jerking, you know. And I probably lose people to a certain extent because of that. But the people that do come because they want to and they follow through. And they put in the effort, and you know, there's just like an extra hurdle they have to jump over that I think makes a difference in their mindset when they get into the class. Whereas yoga, you know, I love yoga and I need to do more of it, but you can just walk in and do it.
Right, and then turn around and leave and no one ever. And I think that the really big thing about CrossFit that, at least for Brandon and I, has been huge as a community. Like, well, we lived out in Moab. We knew everyone. Like, you could just, like, you don't lock your doors. You know, it's like you just walk into someone's house and be like, hey, what are you doing right now? Barbecue? Great. Like, it's, you know, everyone is just, and when we moved to Denver, we were like, we're going to go into shell shock. You know, like, we're not going to know anybody. We're not going to really be able to, like, connect with anybody. Like, how do you, as an adult, you know, like, in an office, really meet people like in your same interest? And like, I at the time was working at a legal software company, so a bunch of IT guys and a bunch of ex lawyers, and I was like, hey, and they're like, hey, what's your background in raft guiding? Yeah. Like, how did you end up here? I know the HR manager. Like, and so when we got into CrossFit, it was huge because it was like, I mean, literally, this is our community. Yeah. I mean, like, we have a handful of other friends from outside of CrossFit, but even then, like, I know, you know, Whitney, another member from having worked with Living Social, and now she's part of the JKM, you know, and it's like, I don't know, it's just, I think that really is the X factor. Is like, if we miss a week of workouts, we're getting a text message from TJ, like, hey, where you guys been? How's it going? We climbed a 14er yesterday, we got a text from TJ, like, hey, I hope you guys didn't get rained off, you know, it's like, people are like, they notice you, and they are worried about you, and they are excited for you when you do well, and it just makes it so much more motivating.
Yeah, whenever I get, like, I don't know, I've had, like, minor injuries in the past year. It doesn't matter if it's like, you know, like the other day I tweaked my back when we were doing ring dips. So like the whole morning I was like, oh, that hurts. And I knew it was fine, but like people like sent me messages, hey, how you doing? Are you okay? Like, this just doesn't happen anywhere. Like, right. This doesn't happen when people like, hey, how's your back? How you feeling? Or, you know, things like that are super important. So for beginners, I guess what advice, because listeners, I'm sure, are like all different places in CrossFit, but I know a lot of people want to learn about CrossFit before they try it. So, like, what are the things that they need to know before they come in?
You know, I think you have to do your due diligence and look. I mean, there is a plethora of good stuff and bad stuff on the internet about CrossFit. And I think that when you think about joining a CrossFit gym, you need to look at, you know, go to YouTube, for example, and watch some of the videos on there of CrossFit workouts and see if it's something that appeals to you, because it will appeal to some people and it won't appeal to others, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think there are 1,000 paths to good health and fitness, and this is just one of them, but you just got to watch, you know, go find out about it, what kind of movements are they doing, and what kind of intensity levels are they working off of? And even within that, I think every gym's got kind of its own vibe. So if at all possible, talk to someone who CrossFits, you know, because going in blind, you literally have no idea what to look out for or anything. And so, you know, we'll have members move. And I'll just tell them, you know, go work out at different gyms and find the one that now you know what you like and what you don't like about CrossFit J. So take that and go to, you know, Portland, John Darnell, and find out what you want out of your gym, you know. And
that's a really good point too, because I think that people probably just assume like Starbucks, all CrossFit J are the same.
I think people from the outside do assume.
Yeah, and just going to different boxes in this community, I know that's not true. And then I went to CrossFit LA and I mean, it is. You have to kind of get a different vibe.
Yeah, we went to
figure
out
what vibe you want.
A few in San Diego. We went to a couple of the big ones even that are out there, and went to a couple in Wisconsin, and it's like all of them, there are definitely, you know, obviously similarities among all of them, but they're all so different. And you walk in and it's like immediately, so if you are from a CrossFit gym and you like kind of have your idea of like what a CrossFit community is like, you walk in and it's immediately so obvious, like here's how it's different, like this is, you know, or like it also can be apparent, like, oh, I really like this because, you know, I think that this is, they're doing really doing this well. But I think that another thing to take from that is, as a beginner, if you go to a gym and you don't like it, and the thing you don't like about it is the vibe, not like the movements, try another gym.
Try something else, yeah, because it's not the same. Agree.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should get a pretty good indicator relatively quickly. I'd say within the first 15 or 20 minutes of walking in, if it's a place where you feel like you're going to be safe and challenged, but challenged safely. And I told the Elements people today at the very end, I said, you know, if you find that CrossFit J is not right for you, that's cool. You know, no hard feelings. You know, feel free to try other gyms because they all have different vibes. And then I was like, you're probably not going to find like a more relaxed gym than us. But you may find like a more, if you want a more intense gym, you can certainly find that. Yeah. I don't know if you'll find more laid back vibe than us, but.
Yeah, we're pretty laid back. Talk a little bit, since this is like a CrossFit for Chicks podcast, what are some things, I guess, you notice, for the women here at CrossFit J, anything you want to speak to about chicks and CrossFit?
I like, to be honest, I think CrossFit can be more powerful for women than it can be for men in a lot of ways. It's really empowering, and I'm sure you guys, well, I know you touch on that in your blogs, and I imagine you'll touch on that in the podcast later on, but I think it's really empowering for women because you develop a sense of independence about your body, I suppose, and what you can do with it. And a lot of times I find that I derive more satisfaction out of female successes than I do male, just because it comes so far. It comes from a place of like, I literally will never be able to do a pull-up, to a place where it's like, I want to try and do a butterfly pull-up, which is the most advanced one we have. And it's really cool in that regard. And guys, it's just different for guys, because we come from a lot of guys, not all guys, but a lot of guys come from a more athletic background, so we've been lifting weights and doing things. And we may have been doing them poorly our whole life, and we may still be weak, but it's a place where you've done the stuff.
And, right, there are articles being written about how you should be able to do pull-ups
in your times. Yeah, exactly. And so I think for women, it's empowering in the physical sense. Beyond that, I think it's interesting to watch men and women work out together in this way, because there are some like great equalizers, you know. Strength to weight ratio is always going to be in the guy's favor, but I find girls are so damn tough mentally. So when it comes to like those workouts where you just have to slog it out and you know, be mentally strong, I find the women do a lot better. When it comes to sit-ups, girls always kill us on sit-ups.
That's so interesting. I've never heard anyone say that. I'm like, yeah, I guess we are mentally strong.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's just like I suppose it's the nature of what, maybe the fact that women have to deal with childbirth or something.
But, it's going to be a pretty mentally exhausting experience.
Yeah. But I think it's, it's interesting to watch where men rise to the occasion and where they fall, and to watch where women rise to the occasion and where they fall. And for women, I think there's a lot of upsides to it.
What would you say to somebody who's thinking about opening a CrossFit gym?
You know, it's speaking of the business model again, I mean, it's an interesting model because the barriers to entry are really low, which is cool because I, as a teacher, can take out some no-interest credit cards and open a gym and pay it off in a year, you know, where it's profitable and I don't have a huge giant debt lingering right. over my head for decades to come. At the same time, you know, and CrossFit's openly said that, like, because the barriers to entry are low, there'll be some gyms that are good and there'll be some gyms that are bad, and your hope is that their cream rises to the top or whatever, and that those bad gyms go by the wayside. Unfortunately, I just think, like, the bad gyms take too long to go away. There are gyms in Denver that I don't respect. I don't respect what they do and how they do it, and they just kind of plod along, and it's a business model where you can be profitable relatively easily if you just put bodies in the door. And
yeah.
It doesn't mean you're doing the right thing, and it doesn't mean people are getting stronger, and it doesn't mean that people are safe, but you're going to pay the bills. And
right.
You're
well, and the problem is that people, like, a lot of times, like we were just saying, the members don't necessarily, if they're new, they don't know what to look for. They might not know better than to walk in and be like, this feels unsafe. They might just go in and think, maybe this is just how it feels as yeah. a beginner. So I guess that would be also a good thing to say if you're a beginner CrossFitter. If you feel like, as someone who had no athletic background, had really never lifted weights before, I definitely have felt out of my comfort zone, but never have I felt unsafe.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you're ever in a position as a beginner CrossFitter where you're feeling unsafe, like, really, that's not part of learning.
Yeah.
That's not part of, like, the normal continuum of being out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. But if you are, you know, an experienced CrossFitter and you feel like opening a gym, it's awesome, and it's a cool way to go into business for yourself, because it's pretty easy, I would say, in terms of, if you look at a bunch of different business models, it's way easier than opening a restaurant or a bar or something like that. And you can become, you know, I kind of look at small business owners as like heroes of American society. You know, I think we're the ones that do a lot of, we like serve an important role in society. I think it's not the owners of giant conglomerates or corporations. I think it's just these small mom and pop places that really drive the awesomeness of our economy. And so this is an easy one to get into. And I think you just have to be ready, and it's hard. I mean, I worked so much when I first started, and I slept so little, and I pretty much was probably in the worst shape of my CrossFit life the first 6 months that I opened the gym, because I worked so much and was so stressed out. And you guys know how easy muscle-ups are for me. I lost the ability to do a muscle-up during my time, like, opening a gym.
What was stressful about it?
You know, it's stressful. Well, for me, it was stressful because I had never done anything even close to this. For Lindsay, it was, my fiance has opened several salons and everything. And so she, for her, it was like a walk in the park. For me,
she's like, this is normal.
For me, I was on a salary my whole life, and I had benefits, and you leave all that behind, and so you just feel really vulnerable, and you have a giant lease that you're responsible for, and you have a personal guarantee on, so they can go after your personal assets if you fail.
Okay.
Yeah.
You probably didn't sleep at all.
Yeah. And I didn't want to ruin my credit history, you know, because I put all of it on credit cards, and so you just have a lot kind of going through your head. And then touching on that point earlier, that you just have such close contact, and when you're at the beginning, you work every single class, and so you have such close contact with everyone that you're just living and dying by people's impressions of your gym, and you really want it to, you want them to have the highest impression of you, period, to make it, you know. And now I'm at the point where, you know, we're at capacity, and I can kind of breathe a little bit easier. If somebody doesn't like the gym for some reason that I don't agree with, I'm like, go somewhere else.
Right.
I don't care.
I was gonna ask, like, did you feel pressure to, like, please everybody at first?
Yeah.
And, like,
regardless of whether I agreed with him, and I'm kind of. I don't know, strong-willed or whatever. I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, something like that. Claire knows what I'm talking about. But, you know, if I disagree with someone philosophically on something, I generally don't just give in.
You're not the kind of person to just say, like, well, let's agree to disagree.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll convince you of my point.
Right.
But in the beginning, I couldn't do that.
I don't know that side of TJ yet.
I just had to...
laughing, but I'm like, I haven't seen that yet.
I just had to kind of grin and bear it, you know, at the beginning. Like, I'll do my best to, you know, fix that, whatever's wrong.
Yeah.
And so that, it was scary for a while. But it picked up so fast that I was able to kind of relax relatively quickly. The gym was paying for itself within 3 months, which I'd say is pretty fast for any business.
That's amazing.
To make a profit at that quick. So, it's a good line of work. It's hard. You just got to be ready to work hard. And if you know you can succeed, you can succeed.
Where do you see the gym in 5 years?
It's such a good job interview question.
Yeah.
I like it.
I know. I just did interviews last week, so I'm like in interview mode.
Well, I found out 2 weeks ago that the owner of the building will not release to me at the end of my lease, so that's kind of the big thing weighing on me right now. I have 6 months until the end of my second year, and then I have a third optional year after that, so I have between 6 and 18 months in this space. And the location for this gym has been key. I mean, it was such a good decision to open here because it's on a main street. It's by a lot of like cool businesses and stuff, so it's right in the mix. And I think it was I would give the location of the building pretty good credit for my success. And so I worry about moving, and now I know that I have to move. And before I was looking to expand, I thought like it would be nice to expand, but only if it's the right building and the right lease and blah, blah, blah. Now it's, you know, it's a foregone conclusion that I'll be moving. And so that's a little scary because I'm getting priced out. I mean, I'm still a small business and I'm really small for this area. And Lohi has some of the highest commercial real estate prices in the country, I would say. And so I'm getting priced out of this area, and I don't know that I'll find a place that's even within like a 10 block radius of here. And it's a little scary to know that I'll be moving farther away. I'd like to stick in, you know, this kind of corridor that I think will allow me to keep most of my members, but ultimately I'll be, you know, signing somewhere else, crossing my fingers, and then just hoping that most people come with me. And, you know, I think that we've set a good foundation here to keep most people, but, you know, there'll be people that leave.
Yeah.
So I'd like to move to a bigger gym. I'd like to move up to a place that has a couple of rooms, maybe like 2 rooms this size or 3 rooms this size, because I do really enjoy the small aspect, like the small vibe of the classes, and I don't want to lose that. But I wouldn't mind running 2 5:30 classes at the same time. You come, and that's my busiest class, and I'd love to offer it to more people. But I don't want just a bit, you know, I don't want an 8,000 square foot gym that's a giant warehouse. I just want something that's sectioned off that would allow me to take more members on financially, because I'm not doing this for free. You know, I do want to make a profit.
Sure.
You know,
it's not a non-profit CrossFit.
Yeah, it's not a non-profit CrossFit. And I'd like to offer some Olympic weightlifting classes. I'd like to be able to do an elements class regularly, and you know, not just once in a blue moon, and cram them in on a weekend when I can fit it in. And so my hope for the gym in 5 years is that I've found a space that fits those requirements, that's reasonably close to where I'm at, that I can sign a really long lease on, like a 5-year lease with a 5-year renewal. When I first signed, I thought 2 years with a third year option, it just seemed like an eternity. It looked like a ton of money, and it was like, oh my gosh. But now I'm like, I want a 5-year lease and a 5-year renewal, and I don't want to screw around with this anymore, because this is the movement of the gym, the building, the lease, that's my least favorite part of this whole process.
Yeah. We gotta wrap things up. You wanna talk anything else last minute? TJ's getting married in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, you are getting married in like 2 weeks. That's fun.
Becoming Joy's neighbor tomorrow.
Yeah, and my neighbor. That's like the best day ever for TJ.
And then, we get married July 13th at a member's house. You know, like that's
really. I'm doing your flowers.
Claire's doing the flowers. In a nutshell, like, that's what CrossFit is. You can get married at your members' houses, and they'll make flowers for you.
You guys are both planning weddings right now.
Yeah, well, I know. He's much more planning. I'm mostly helping plan his wedding.
Because you're already done.
With my wedding planning?
Yeah.
More or less, yeah.
It's
true. trying to think of anything else like cool happened this week. I don't know. What cool things did you do this week?
This week?
Like this past week.
Oh my gosh. What's today? Today's Sunday. I didn't do anything.
No?
No.
How's your Emmy dress going for you?
Oh my gosh. So I'm thinking of wearing the dress I wore 2 years ago.
It's covered in sequins, right?
It's all sequins. It's just black and white.
Thinking about it. That's
well. There's like this, like, to me, I get in this weird, like, what if it's bad luck to get, because I've always...
But you won last time you wore it, right?
Yeah. But then I think, well, I've gotten a new dress every year,
And, like, when else are you going to have the opportunity to, like, buy a new dress?
I know. I love this dress, but I'm like, well...
She could just skip the Emmys and come to my wedding.
I know. That's like... I
got a few.
Did you get my
wedding,
note?
Well, so I got your RSVP thing, and all I saw was that it said no, and I was like, well, what the hell, Joy? And I didn't turn it over. I just, like, put it away. I put it in the no
stack. He was sad. He just started sobbing into it.
There's some tear marks on it.
This whole time, I've been like...
And then I turned it over, like, 3 weeks later. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, she's going to the Emmys. I could have just read that from the beginning. This whole time I've been cursing your name.
This whole time I've been on the shit list. I should have like told you. I'm so sorry.
That's weird.
I was like, dang it, Emmys.
Is it in LA?
No, it's here. It's at the ballroom downtown Denver, and we are more than happy if I win to come to your wedding, and then I'll crash your party.
Or if you lose, you can come and get drunk.
Yeah, that's true. Either way.
Either way, come into the after party.
Yeah. So
Lindsay's client's delivering 600 PBRs for it, so you could drown your sorrows in a blue ribbon beer.
That's the way to go. That is the way to go. I'm all for it. So to answer your question is like, yeah, I'm still debating on whether or not to look. Here's the thing. I went to Nordstrom the other day, and I was like, I told the sales lady, she's like, in the fancy dress section, I'm like, I'm looking for a dress that's better than what I have, and I don't think I'm going to find something better than what I have. And she was like, how about this? I'm like, it's not better than what I have.
No.
And so I was kind of being, she wasn't really happy with me. But I'm like, lady, this dress is just pure white and black sequins. Like, you can't get better than that. You can't get better than that.
So, I have a gold sequin dress.
Oh, I want that. That's the dress I want. I will not fit in that dress. But
I was going to say, it's a little tight in my shoulders.
Yeah,
you would just and that would be Hulk right through it. Yeah.
Bulldozer.
All right. Yeah, I think that's all the news I have that's a bit different. I don't think that. Yeah, nothing else really interesting. I almost got struck by lightning yesterday. Yeah, we were
14er.
Yeah, we were hiked to 14er to Mount Albert, which is the highest point in the Rocky Mountains. And it was 11 in the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, wow.
Not just Colorado. Colorado and also the whole the western. Whatever, this part of the Rockies. Probably not the Canadian Rockies. Those things are tall. But so it was like 11:15. The kind of rule of thumb is off summit by noon because thunderstorms start coming in.
Yeah.
It was like 11:15. I had gotten really bad altitude sickness as soon as we got above tree line, and I was like super nauseous.
It's going hard through that shit.
So we were going really slow. I was like, CrossFit!
Yeah, I will not stop for you.
And there were a couple times where I was like, I'm going to throw up right now.
You might be damned.
No, screw it.
Wait, what did you just say, TJ?
High altitude pulmonary edema, be damned.
It's cool, I wasn't wheezing. There was
such an EMT. That was such an EMT thing for you to say.
At one point I was like, is that ataxia? I think I feel like it's a little bit of ataxia going on. Anyway, so we got to the top finally at 11.
At least you have the proper words for what's going on with you.
I'm a wilderness first responder.
Oh.
Yeah, if you're in the wilderness, I can
say that. Is it a woofa?
But a woofer. A woofa is wilderness first aid.
Oh.
But I can't help you if we're less than 2 hours away from definitive care.
Okay.
Because you're wondering. Anyway, so it was like 11:15, and it all of a sudden it starts hailing. We were like 100 yards away from the summit. It starts hailing. So we sprint up to the summit, tag the summit marker, and turn around and start running back down. We turn around, there's this woman with really curly hair. Her hair is standing straight up. And we were like, we're going to die. and literally everyone on the summit, we all just kind of look at each other, and everyone, there's like probably a dozen of us up there, just turn around and just start running down the mountain. And one of those ladies carrying this baby, I was like, why did A, you have a baby up here, worst idea ever. And B, like the baby's crying, it's hailing, all of a sudden it becomes like, we're like, the Titanic is going down and we're all trying to get to the lifeboats. It was like that hectic. And it was
I love that you still tagged the summit. Like, not that you didn't just take like a beautiful hike, you know, that whatever, it happened to end at 13,998 feet. But
we were 100 yards away. If we had been like at the saddle below, we would have been like, screw it, we're turning around. But it was like, it's right there. Like, Brandon could probably just reach out and touch it.
That's long arms. That's unbelievable. Anyway, that's dedication.
That's dedication. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, well, I think that's what I have to say today.
The air just turned off. It's probably like super quiet in the sound now. Hello.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, TJ. It was a treat.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear the first and future episodes.
Yeah. I think hopefully you'll like them.
We did our headshots today, so you guys
have some pretty, you guys get to see our beautiful
pretty things to look at.
All right, cool. Well, we will talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, bye.